where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everybody in Central Valley and beyond. I'm your host, Paul Meadors. This is the Central Valley Sports Report live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You guys know where this is. This is definitely the place to be, especially if you have a youngster in youth sports or a high school kid, because this is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket fitted. I'm here in the Letterman's Jacket room. Just when you walk into the store to the right, I've done my show here since day one. They've been incredible sponsors. So thanks to First String Sports for being great sponsors and great hosts of the show. Like I said, my name is Paul Meadors. You can follow me on the Twitters at Paul Meadors, P-A-U-L-M-E-A-D-O-R-S. And also follow the station at 1430 ESPN. It was really interesting. Last night I was at a brass ensemble concert at our church as a little get together in memory of one of my dad's friends who had my friend's father who had passed away, and ran into my old sixth grade teacher and from Dinuba, California, and he is he's really into radio and audio stuff, and there is an audio of me in sixth grade where I talk about local sports. I talk about some of the Lincoln records. I went to Lincoln School that were set. We would do Lincoln records every Friday. So it was fun. I hadn't seen him in probably 20 years, and we were reminiscing, and he's been a fan of the show, and he's sent me notes of encouragement that I've really appreciated. He's like, Paul, you remember in sixth grade we used to tape record it, right? I used to hit play and record, and you used to record sports on the little microphone. I said, yeah, if we could find an audio of that, that would be really fun to play. So that was a really fun blast in the past, talking to my sixth grade teacher about sports. So here I am today talking about high school sports. Well, what's on the docket for the next 2 hours? Pure high school basketball talk. We are now in we're state playoff time. We've had an incredible run in the Central section. We're going to get into a lot of those games. In fact, we're going to be talking with Coach Brad Rosnowski and Mike Davis Jr. from San Joaquin Memorial. They have advanced in the state playoffs. They're hosting a playoff game tonight. Tonight they are hosting a playoff game, 7 o'clock at San Joaquin Memorial. It's the only game in town. Make sure you guys check that out. But we're talking with Coach Brad Rosnowski and Mike Davis at the bottom of this hour. After the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo, produces the show. Obviously, you guys listen to him 3 to 5, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday. We're talking about all the good stuff that's happening up and down the Central section. There's some soccer games going on, too. Some state championship, well, NorCal championship soccer games. There's no true state championship in soccer. It's kind of weird, to be honest, right? I mean, just go one more week and you play the NorCal versus SoCal. But they don't do it for soccer, but definitely for basketball. The state championships will be held next week at Golden One Arena in Sacramento. At the top of hour number two, Coach C.J. Haydock, men's Fresno Pacific basketball coach, and Darren Pearson Jr. will join us. Now, C.J. Haydock has been the head men's basketball coach at Fresno Pacific since 2016, and he actually coached Darren Pearson at Emmanuel High School. They had quite a run in those years, and Darren has had an incredible journey. He was the Fresno B Player of the Year, won four straight Valley Championships, went to Cal State Bakersfield, transferred to Fresno Pacific, had a major knee injury. Talk about perseverance, man. Darren Pearson epitomizes it. So looking forward to talking about their journey, their year at Fresno Pacific, you know, all the good stuff that comes with that program. The program is very community-minded as well. Really appreciate that about Coach C.J. Haydock. So we're going to actually have him on for a couple of segments. 11 o'clock hour, take a break, talk to them a little bit more. And then I'm sure you guys have heard of this, but Sierra boys basketball have quite a run of their own in the state playoffs. Coach Ryan Watt, their team's headed up north. They're playing a team in Stockton. They're going to be on the road around 10:30. They're going to be taken off. But Coach Watt is going to be joining us via the phone around 11:45-ish. They've had an incredible run, like I mentioned. Logan Kilbert made a layup at the buzzer to win. Well, it wasn't at the buzzer. I think it was 3 seconds left, able to escape with a win. And so they're headed to Stockton to continue their run in D5. I want to mention, too, the show is sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Right now it's 52 degrees. You guys know, man, it's been raining. The rain has been pretty wild over the last couple weeks. There's 70% chance of rain today, later today, and then 90% on Sunday. And the rain has really wreaked some havoc on baseball and softball. You know, a lot of fields are in poor condition, and fields have been, you know, teams have been having to move fields. I know the Clovis North soccer team, they had to move their playoff game to Clovis East. And, they come away with a win. And, again, they're playing at 3 o'clock today, talking about the Clovis North soccer team, 3 o'clock today at Davis, number one ranked team in the nation, talking about Clovis North, according to one poll, but somehow they got the number two seed. What's up with that? Two seed in NorCal. So they're playing Davis at 3 o'clock up north. And, you know, like I said, there's no state playoffs, so this is the final game no matter what. I know Coach Shiroki's done an amazing job. He's been on my show, been on Gabe's show. They've had a magical season. They are 26-0-1 right now. 26-0-1. Davis is 21-0-2. So that's going to be an epic match. I want to mention, too, the McLean boys have had quite a run in the state playoffs. They're playing today at home. So we talk about San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball playing at home at 7. Go check out McLean, McLean Stadium. D3 championship at home. They're playing the four seed. The number one seed got upset. So they're playing the four seed at home. So go support local sports for sure. I also want to mention something kind of funny that happened yesterday, something that hasn't happened in 22 years. You know, I teach in Traver, California. It's a K-8 school. It's just south of Kingsburg. Been there for 25 years. Well, we've played the students. So the staff has played the students, the 8th grade boys team, the varsity team, I guess, for the last 22 years in football and basketball. All right. We have not lost ever in the history of playing the students. Yesterday it came to an end. Came to an end in the basketball game. For years, guys, they've been the Washington Generals to our Harlem Globetrotters. We smoked them. There was one game that went overtime, talking about basketball. In football, you know, we're savvy in football, and, you know, obviously I'm playing for the staff. So, you know, when you're playing against students, they can get mad at each other. They're in disarray. They've lost their coach. So they start arguing and bickering with each other. Then we know we got them. But, yeah, basketball, we ran into a gauntlet, man. They just had too much speed for us. And they saved their best game for last, which I was pretty upset about. I was upset because we ended up third in league, but they played their best game of the season against the staff, and they beat us. So what's up with that? I posted on Twitter. People were saying, yeah, those kids, they're going to be talking smack for the rest of their lives. They're going to be coming back to school and saying, yeah, we're the team that broke the streak. Yeah, you guys are. Some people are saying, yeah, I should raise a banner for them. Like, nah, I think the smack talk is going to be enough for the next for the rest of the school year for sure. But anyway, yeah, we just keep getting older, right? The teachers keep getting older, and the eighth graders are, I don't know, it seemed a little bit faster this year. So anyway, congrats to those guys, I guess. Whatever. Okay. All right. So girls, want to mention basketball state playoffs in the open division. Clovis West, number 3 seed, they're playing at Archbishop Mitty. If you remember, in 2017, Clovis West made that incredible run to win a CIF Open State Division Championship and a number one ranking in the nation. That's who they beat in the championship game. Clovis West was in the SoCal Division in the open playoffs. And they played Archbishop Mitty and beat him. Well, Clovis West is now in the NorCal, and they're playing Archbishop tonight at 7 o'clock. It's going to be tough sledding, man. Clovis West, obviously, with the only one loss on the season. Archbishop Mitty is a formidable opponent. So good luck to the Golden Eagles tonight. In Division 1, Clovis girls keep winning. They're playing tonight at number 1 St. Mary's, again in Division 1. Good luck to the Cougars. Coach Cooper Steele has done a phenomenal job with that program and with that team. Central girls in Division 2, they're playing also at number 1. Marin Catholic, they've had a great run too. I think they were 4-6 in league. And look at them go in Division II. So good luck to the Grizzlies. In D3, we've talked a lot about the Carruthers program. They were seeded number 9 out of 16 in Division III. You don't think they took that personally? Especially with being placed in Division I and playing against Clovis West, right? Well, Carruthers girls, they're just absolutely taking it to everybody. They beat the number 1 seed. I mean, hammered them. absolutely hammered them. Beat them by more than 30. Well, they're playing at number 5 in the NorCal division today. I think Carruthers is going all the way, to be honest, in D3. They're playing on an absolute mission right now. And in D4, number 5, Liberty Bakersfield is playing number 1, Los Osos, and that's in the SoCal division. Our teams in the section from the coast and from the Bakersfield area were placed in the SoCal region this year. And boys, open division, number 3, St. Joseph at Daugherty Valley. We know about St. Joe's. Gabe and I will be talking about that game against Clovis West coming up after the break. St. Joe's, you know, they got a really good shot. Number 1 team in NorCal is Modesto Christian. If they win, they're going to be playing Modesto Christian most likely. So keep an eye on St. Joseph's. They got a really, really good team. And D2, the game that we talked about, we're going to talk with Coach Ross and Mike Davis Jr. coming up at the bottom of this hour. D2, number 7, the Western Grants comes. 7 o'clock, San Joaquin Memorial. Be there. I'll be there for sure. And Division 3, number 11, Mission Prep at number 2, Culver City. That's in the SoCal division. Remember, Mission Prep is in the same league as St. Joe's, and they were beat by double digits in both of their matchups. I think it was about 11, 14 points in both games that they were able to play. But, yeah, Mission Prep's got a really good team. Seen at number 11. They've had a nice run. And at number 5, again, we're going to be talking with Ryan Watt, towards the end of the show, number 5, Sierra, in Division 5, is playing at number 1, Venture Academy. We talked about the boys' soccer. Again, 3 o'clock, Clovis North boys playing for the NorCal title against number 1, Davis, and the McLean boys in Division 3 at home at 5 o'clock. A little bit of a programming note. There will be no Central Valley Sports Report next week. It is my annual trip that I've taken for the last 7 years with my guys to Las Vegas, watch the Mountain West boys basketball tournaments. A tradition. There's guys that I don't see but once a year. So I do that, and 1430 ESPN has been gracious enough to let me go do those. So I really, really appreciate that. So no show next week. Definitely I'll be tweeting and giving you guys updates, especially, you know, it's the same time as the state playoffs. So fingers crossed that we get a couple teams to that state championship game. That would be really, really neat for our central section. A lot of baseball and softball this week as well. Gabe and I will be talking about that a little bit. And speaking of Gabe, he'll be coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Thanks for joining Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. If you guys missed any part of the show or you want to hear some interviews that we've done in the past, just go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcast, go to Central Valley Sports Report. It's all right there, man. It's pretty cool. So you know, a lot of people that say, hey, Paul, I missed this episode. Where can I go? And I'll literally just like text them the link, and it's right there. You can listen on your phone. You can listen on your computer. Obviously, listen live on 1430 ESPN. I want to bring up Gabe Camarillo, host of Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. Man, he hits the pavement hard. He's at a lot of events. He's my partner in crime all season doing basketball games. We had a ton of fun, especially at Selland Arena. You know, the show last week was in the morning, 10 to 12, and that was when Reedley was playing their game, the Reedley girls, and they won their first team or school, I should say, section championship since 1983. And Gabe and I were there to broadcast the Kingsburg and Sierra game, and then the Clovis West and Clovis girls game, and the Clovis West and St. Joe's boys game. And we had an absolute blast. It was a ton of fun. I want to mention too, got to give some love to those Saturday winners. So again, I mentioned the Reedley girls won, D3, Bakersfield Christian girls, and of course Clovis West. Those girls won their 11th straight Central Section Championship. Just an absolute dynasty. Beat Clovis High. And the boys, St. Joe's, beat Clovis West for the title in D1. And then Kingsburg played a phenomenal basketball game and beat Sierra, who was the one seed. They beat them by, I think it was 60 to 40, beat them by 20 points. And Madera South Desert, it's now a combo listed by CIF Central Section. Gabe, I'm going to be talking about that in just a second. Just a strange situation there in Division 5 with Madera South Desert and then McFarland's involved. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. But Gabe, you had Mike Pellesi on your show. He's the Reedley High School girls coach, and he got an award. I mean, he was given a Lifetime Achievement Award, and those things are are known about a year in advance. And who knew that he was going to lead his Ridley Pirates to their to the first, Central Section Championship since the early 80s. Did a great job with the girls. And I know you had him on the show, but what a great story that is. He's been coaching boys for a long time. Obviously, the longtime coach at Selma and won a section title. And he's like, oh, I'm going to coach my daughter with the girls team. And, oh, yeah, we're going to go to Selma Arena as a 10 seed and just win the whole darn thing. What a great story.
Yeah, for 23 years, he was a math teacher, and he was a boys basketball coach at several high schools, and Fowler was lucky to have him, Sierra was lucky to have him, Sanger and Summer were lucky to have him, and he already won two section championships in boys basketball. He came back after a year off or 2 years off and said, I want to coach my daughter at Ridley High School, and it was the right fit. There was an open math teacher job, so he took initiative. And in his first year as a girls basketball coach, he wins the entire thing as a 10 seed, right? And you mentioned the Pirates are, they won their first Central Section Championship since 1983. They are drought breakers, so to speak. I mean, that's a drought that's lasted, what, four decades almost? So you think about what Mike Plessy did immediately at Ridley, and that's why he won a Lifetime Achievement Award along with two other very deserving candidates, Nick Carroll, who was the former Kingsburg High girls basketball coach for 15 years, and Annie Bogart, who we both know is a legend when it comes to prep sports coverage in the Central Valley. So three very deserving Lifetime Achievement Award winners, but Mike Plessy definitely adding to that award with another award, a Central Section title.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And, you know, like I mentioned, you and I had the pleasure of calling those three games. And, you know, the Kingsburg-Sierra games, Kingsburg just playing really, really good basketball. And I know Sierra's done I had a great run to state. Can't wait to talk to Coach Ryan Watt. But Clovis West girls, right, Gabe? You know, it's like death taxes and Clovis West girls winning a Central Section championship game. You know, they just impose their will. They're just so well coached. And, I know they have a really tough game tonight against Archbishop Mitty in the open division. But, you know, what a program and what a coach Craig Campbell is, isn't he?
I saw something on the internet, which I know they always say you can't trust everything you see on the internet, but this was some truth being brought on social media. It was someone who said, in regards to there being three track girls basketball teams still in the state playoffs, because you got Clovis and Central also in Division One and Two respectively, but in the open with Clovis West, they're the reason why the track has three teams left, because Clovis West has set the bar so high for so long. This is now their 11th straight year winning a section title. Only two schools in the entire state can say they have longer streaks, and I don't see this streak for Clovis West ending anytime soon because of their youth and because of some of the key players coming up through the ranks. But I do think that this Clovis West program has changed girls basketball in the Valley for the better. I mean, you got to look at what other teams are doing to just stay competitive with Clovis West, right? Clovis High upped their game, and they even beat Clovis West once, and look how far Clovis High is going in the state playoffs. I think you have to give some credit to the Cougars, or most of the credit to the Cougar girls, but some of the credit has to go to Clovis West because, I mean, they set the bar so high. They were so dominant for so long. Think about that long winning streak that they had at home. Think of the long winning streak they had in track play. You know, you don't want to lose every day if you're a track school against Clovis West. So they had to up their game. They had to get like Clovis West, you know, those Saturday schools, or rather the, what's it called? The feeder
little
programs,
hoopsters.
Little hoopsters.
Yeah.
That's the official term. The Saturday practice sessions, you know, training the third graders and fourth graders. Now everyone's doing that. And they probably were doing it before, but they're doing it more because Clovis West does it the way that state championship caliber teams do it.
No, I agree. And I think the exposure is huge too, right? And, you know, we follow a lot of websites out there. Gabe, Cal High Sports does an incredible job. SB Live. There are a lot of websites out there and a lot of people to follow, I think, the Central Valley more because of Clovis West girls. I think there's a lot of truth in that statement. And you mentioned Clovis West girls and some of the incredible accomplishments. But how about this, Gabe? This was tweeted by them. Out of 1,500 high schools in California, top eight in the open division. So it is Clovis West's eighth straight year making it to the Elite Eight. So what does that mean? So for 8 years in a row, they've been a top eight program in the state. Again, we've talked about this too, Gabe. It's a public school. It's not a private school. So there's a lot to be said about the incredible program Clovis West. So good luck tonight against Archbishop Mitty. Gabe, I tease this a little bit, but man, something what's that line from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? Something is, you know, strange as a foot at the Circle K. Well, something strange is a foot in the Central Section, just in regards to the Madera South and Desert Boys basketball situation. I know online there's you know, well, they did this, CIF did this, and I know there's a lot of, let's just say, untruths that are out there. I know you've talked to Commissioner Ryan Toss and to the office. What's like the Cliff's Notes version of what's going on with Madera South and the Desert and them replaying the game and maybe only taking JV guys? So it's just a strange situation. So what can you tell me about that?
So let's go back about a week. I think let's say a week and a half. Wednesday was when they were supposed to have the Desert Madera South Division 5 boys basketball semifinal. And that was supposed to be at Desert Air Force Base, which is located on the campus of Edwards Air Force Base, which is about 50 miles east of Tehachapi, to give listeners some idea of how far Desert Air Force Base is from Madera South. So it was going to be a bit of a drive for the Stallions, and it was going to be a drive through some nasty weather. It was snowing in the Tehachapi Pass, and so that made the roads on the Tehachapi Pass, which you need to drive to get to Desert Air Force Base, untravelable. And so because of this, the CIF Central Section made the decision to give Desert the decision, right? You either forfeit or Desert chose to forfeit because there was no way that they were going to be able to drive to Sound Arena even if they won that semifinal. And so with the options presented, Desert made the unfortunate choice to forfeit, not because they wanted to, but because that was their only option, really. Think about what other options they had. The regional brackets come out on Sunday. Sound Arena is set in stone. The championships are Friday and Saturday. Now, I've seen some sections decide to have the section finals a week before the regional brackets come out for this exact situation, but that hasn't been done before. And they never experienced a weather issue like this before. So they decided to forfeit, Desert did. And then when the roads cleared, and after Madera South beat McFarland, after Madera South got a bye almost from the semifinal to the final, Madera South beat McFarland, Desert said, "We didn't want our season to end that way, and no season should end that way, in my opinion, but I'll stick to the facts here." They decided to have a championship game, so to speak. I mean, I was joking with Ryan on Thursday, what do we call this? Because this has never been done before. So we came up with the Central Section D5 Championship 2.0 at Centennial High School. Centennial was the grateful host. You know, Madera South administration gave the okay to do this. I know on social media, there's some people out there saying that they don't want to do this. Here's the facts, right? Madera South maybe didn't send their best team because of seniors and juniors, and some people online are saying that's an excuse of why they lost to Desert. Here's my take on this, and I'll leave it at this. But if Madera South won because Desert forfeited, so for Madera South to say, "This is unfair, we won the championship, we shouldn't have to play again," you won the championship in part because Desert forfeited, and Desert forfeited because they absolutely had to. So who's the victim here? It's not as clear as day. It may not be Madera South because Madera South did benefit from Desert forfeiting, but it also maybe is not Desert because Desert did make the decision to forfeit. As you said, very complicated situation. It leads to some confusion because if you forfeit, does that mean that you can unforfeit, that you can replay the game? There's a lot out there. And so as long as the right information is out there to give people the best educated opinion, that's all I care about. But as you said, there is some misinformation out there, so be careful what you read out there, people.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing too, Gabe, that I know is that this current administration in our Central Section CIF office is very transparent. If you email or if you call, you're going to get a reply, right? And so I just want to let you guys know that. I know the last CIF Central Section office, they weren't as good as with communication, but this one, they are there for you guys. So I would encourage that, right? Just go ahead. You can send an email. You can call, and I guarantee they'll get back to you and give you the explanation. But, yeah, just a different situation. Let's just leave it at that, Gabe. Okay, we got another minute. Coach Roz is here. Mike Davis Jr. is here at First String Sports. Going to get to them after the break. But, Gabe, soccer, man, Clovis North boys, what an incredible run. They could go down as one of the greatest soccer teams in Central Section history with the win today at Davis.
You know what's crazy? Out of the top four boys soccer teams in the country, talking about high school boys soccer, out of the top four in the country, three are in California. J. Sarah Catholic in SoCal is number two, Davis is number three, and Clovis North is number four, according to Max Preps. Now, I don't know why there isn't a state boys soccer championship, because if Clovis North beat Davis today, which I wouldn't be surprised by, Clovis North is a stout defensive team. They gave up two goals for the first time all season on Thursday, and I do expect this game tonight, or today at 3 o'clock, to be a low-scoring affair. But even if Clovis North won, if Jay Sarah wins in the SoCal, then you can't really answer who's number one in the state. So maybe this is my petition to get a state soccer championship. I will be out at McLean Stadium at 5 o'clock today. Before I go to Memorial, I'm going to make it a doubleheader for me. McLean boys soccer, the number 2 seed hosts the number 4 seed Terra Linda in Division 3 NorCal State Final. If you have nothing to do tonight, go support Highlander soccer. They've had a magical season. Their section title win came at the buzzer, so to speak, in basketball terms, because they got 2 goals in the second period of extra time to even get to the state playoffs. You know, McLean has had a magical run. Clovis North has had a magical run. I just can't wait for all the state playoff action we're going to see today.
If there's any doubt, Gabe Camarillo and I love high school sports, and I hope our enthusiasm shines through us on social media and on the radio. Good job by you, my friend. I'll see you tonight at San Joaquin Memorial, right?
All right, yeah, I'll see you there. I might be a little late. Let's see if the McLean Highlanders can win in regulation.
All right, I'll hold down the fort for 1430 ESPN. Good job by you, my friend.
All right, thank you, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, head boys basketball coach at San Joaquin Memorial, Brad Rosnowski and Mike Davis Jr. on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of Super Bowl 57. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host. All right, let me get some levels here. There we go. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Gabe Camarillo, during the break, gave me a little bit of info. A little bit of an update, some fun facts, some info. So we know the NFL Combine's going on right now. We're definitely keeping an eye on how Jake Haener's doing, where his draft stock might be. And Jalen Cropper, Gabe told me, just ran a 4.440. Right, so that definitely is an eye-opener when you see that type of time. You know, NFL scouts are going to like that. So we'll see where Jalen grows. A lot of people are saying, you know, third round maybe. As potential as a kick returner as well. So 4.440 for Jalen Cropper at the Combine. So, yeah, awesome. Good stuff. Local kid, man. Local kid goes to Fresno State. We love those types of guys. We are Central Valley strong for sure. All right, Coach Brad Rosnowski, San Joaquin Memorial, Mike Davis Jr. are here. Thank you guys for coming in, man. It's always good to come in live here at First String Sports. So check it out. So Mike came a little early with his parents, checking out First String, comes right into the room. We're chatting a little bit during break. Says, oh, is that the San Joaquin Memorial Letterman's jacket? Absolutely it is. I look on over. They're boxing one up for him, man. Came in for a purchase. So I'm a really good salesman, or I got to ask for a little bit of a bump from First String Sports for advertising. We got a sale here. So congrats on getting that Letterman's jacket. That's going to look really cool. But thanks, guys, for coming. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having us, Paul. Always great to come in here and chat hoops with you. And I just got to ask a question first. I saw on social media a little bit. I'm a little worried about you. You look a little sore. You don't look real good right now. Just making sure you're okay.
I'm okay. Yeah, so you're referencing the staff versus eighth grade. Again, you know, I say eighth grade. I'm a little embarrassed because you hear about these staff versus high school games, right, where the staff usually ends up winning. But, yeah, we lost, man. First time in 22 years we've lost in basketball and football. A couple twinges here and there in the back. You know, my mind thinks I can go past, you know, that 13, 14-year-old kid who's super fast, right? My mind thinks I could get by him with a couple dribbles, do a spin move, and get to the rim, but the body didn't cooperate.
Yeah, at least you tried it, and you'll heal up. You're ready in a year from now.
A year from now. We've got to get training, man. We've got to get training. So, Brad, I know you're playing tonight at 7. You got a home game. So what's like the agenda for the rest of the day? Are you meeting for lunch? What time are you meeting at the gym? What's that look like for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I'm meeting with a couple of my staff members here in a little bit just to kind of review some stuff, actually one of them, and then have some lunch with them. And then we got another workout at 1, very light workout to review some stuff, and then give the kids a few hours, and we'll meet them back at the gym around 5:30 and get ready to go. You know, with these state tournaments, you just have one day to really prepare. You know, we let the kids go after the games at night. They go home, and we go right in the film room and get ready for it's a little different because when we were in the open the last couple of years, you get your seat on a Saturday, you have a full week to prepare, and, you know, by Thursday, your kind of kids are itching to go. So it's a little different now, but, yeah, we're excited. Great chance to play a third home game.
So you guys beat Santa Cruz, the 11th seed at home, and then all right, upsets. When you see those upsets, when you win and you're expecting the higher seed to win and go on the road, you get that another home game. So the number 14, California from San Ramon, who beat number 2 Branson by a point, and now you're playing Weston Ranch. Is it true? Have they won like 22 out of the last 23? Is that
Yeah, they
right?
started out like I think they were 0-7, 0-8. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they had injuries or what, but they've been really hot. Nick Podesta, you know, really familiar with the Valley and Fresno, lived here, coached it with Ed Matic at Fresno City. So there's no secrets. He's going to know about us. We know a little bit about them. So we're excited. But, yeah, they're a hot team right now, very confident team coming in. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, great game tonight.
Well, how would you describe, like, their team and what type of offense they run and what their personnel is?
They do have some styles of like, the dribble drive system that we see a lot here locally. So we feel like we're kind of familiar with that playing teams here. So they're not overly big. They do have a kid 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", but they're really quick and they're really strong and tough. So we have a huge challenge for us tonight.
Wow, you got a pretty big man here to my left, 6'7". Are we calling him 6'7"?
Yeah, we call him
6'7". All right, 6'7", Mike Davis Jr. here. You know, he's primed for a pretty special senior season. You know, we know JoJo Hunter, we all know about him. He graduated, just an incredible basketball player. But, you know, what has Mike brought to the program as a whole? And, you know, what kind of improvement did you see him his senior year?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. His 4 years have just flown by. He's been part of a open championship, been in, section championship games, state playoff games. So he's kind of a quiet leader. He doesn't say a whole lot. In the 4 years, he makes our job easy. You know, we don't need to overcoach with him. It's a simple game. We have him on the floor, so he's just been a joy to coach.
And coming into your senior year, Mike, you know, obviously it's your final year, and you got a lot to prove. What were the things that you wanted to improve on coming in your senior year?
I wanted to improve on being more as a leader. And last year we came from a bad loss, and so we had to.
Did you want to improve? Like, how about your game though, too? Do you want to improve like some of your outside shooting? You know, you can dunk the basketball inside. You're pretty much unstoppable when you get the ball down low. Do you want to improve maybe your outside game a little bit, or your ball handling, your dribbling?
Yeah, my ball skills. I need to work on that. And my shooting, I need to improve on. I'm working on it and practice day by day. I'm getting better.
How's your free throws?
My free throws are good.
Yeah. It's always good, coach, right? Right? You want your big guys at the end of the game. You want your whole team late in the game on the floor to be able to shoot the ball, be able to handle the ball, be able to shoot free throws. You got to have that confidence. So, I've seen you late in games. You're not taking Mike off the court.
No,
right?
No. He's become a pretty good free throw shooter. He gets to the line a lot because of his size and down low gets fouled a lot. So. He's really improved his shooting. He's actually hit, I think he's got our best percentage of three. I think he's 3 for 5 on the year from three. Does that sound about right, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's leading us probably percentage-wise in threes, but he's just become a better all-around player.
I want to talk about your, a little bit about state, Brad, and the difference between preparing for state. You mentioned, you know, you got three games this week, right? You got like one day to prepare as opposed to playing teams in the central section as far as playoffs, right? You had that really tough game at St. Joseph's. We'll get into a little bit. But what's the difference between preparing for state and then preparing for teams that you know pretty well in the central section playoffs?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Paul. Our preparation is the same, what we do. We watch film with the kids. Since playoffs start, we watch film with them on the opponent. We review some of their stuff, and we kind of go over some of our stuff. But the thing about the state playoffs, we see a lot of upsets.
Yeah.
And I don't really call them upsets, but, you know, in our – the NorCal Regional, the 16 beat the 1. You know, right now, I think down south it's a 2 alive, a 5, 6, and an 8. And in the NorCal, it's Vanden's a 5, Whitney's a 9. You know, we're the 6, Weston Ranch a 7. So you can see there's been a lot of upsets. Everyone's just really good. When you get to the state playoffs, everybody's just really good. You're well scouted by the other team. And so, you look at 116, 215, to me, everybody's good, so you just got to be prepared. But our preparation, to answer your question, Paul, really not much change, whether it's section or state. We're still doing the same thing, watching film and getting ready.
But it moves quick.
It's just saying so that, quick. Right? It's just crazy how we have no chance to enjoy any of these wins, which is okay. So, but it's been fun, and we just want to keep it going.
And what are you expecting tonight as far as fans, right? Like, you know a lot about your gym. I didn't know too until you were on the show last time, and I went to your game. You guys put up bleachers behind your bench. as well. So, you know, what do you expect the atmosphere to be like? Is, you know, ticket sales are online, right? Still, you can't
ticket
get them at the door.
Ticket sales are at the GoFan app, and that's the only way you can get them. No cash at the door. You know, we're, I believe, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, we're the only game in town tonight, basketball-wise.
You are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of, for the non-fan of Memorial or you know, Clovis West or North, whoever, you know, they got choices the last couple games. You know, North, us, and West were all playing Tuesday night. West and us were playing Thursday night. We're the only game in town. We expect a big crowd. I'm sure it'll sell out. It should be great. That gym is a lot of fun when it's packed.
And, Mike, I want to ask you, too, just a little bit about growing up playing basketball. When did you first start really loving the game of basketball? Are you in elementary playing on the playground, or you remember like shooting on a little hoop when you were younger? When do you really remember loving basketball?
I first started off playing football. It was Pop Warner through elementary, and then I started playing basketball seriously in middle school, and that's when I started to love it. And I got picked up from – I went to a barbershop, and a coach – picked me up because of my size. I was tall, and I was sixth grade going into seventh grade. I was like 12 or 11, and I was like 6'2", and I had size, and he seen potential, so he was working with me, and I fell in love with the game and just took it serious after that.
So how you were 6'2", like, yeah, in junior high already?
Yeah.
So can you imagine this guy on the football field? Man, how did Coach Gostin not try to get you to play football?
Oh, I think
football,
he tried, Paul. Oh, he was in my ear and thought I was telling him not to. Funny kind of situation with Coach Gostin and I. But, yeah, I think he'd be a pretty good tight end, you know, like an Antonio Gates type of tight
exactly.
end. Exactly. Just stuck with football and stuck with basketball, and it's worked out okay.
Yeah, 6'7", you know, good frame, a basketball frame for sure. Do you remember the first time you dunked a basketball?
Yeah, it was my eighth grade year. I was trying in seventh grade, and I had broke my leg for the attempt. So I was like real anxious to dunk. And after my injuries, like after rehab and stuff, I got stronger, and I was just trying to dunk so much. Then I got my first dunk. I was happy because everybody would be like, "Oh, my size," and yeah, it just came to me, and I just start dunking after.
What gym, or was it in a gym, or was it an outside court?
Yeah, it was in my middle school, Awani.
At Awani?
Yeah.
You went to Awani?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know that. Yeah, so I've been in that gym. My daughter went to Awani for her. My oldest daughter went to Awani. So dunking in eighth grade. Well, how about first dunk for San Joaquin Memorial in a game? Do you remember that?
It'll probably be, if not ninth grade or 10th grade year for sure. Yeah.
So how about college? Yeah, I know right now, first of all, you'd love to play college basketball, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love to play college basketball. So, Coach, what type of player any college get if they got Mike?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get a hard worker, like I said, a quiet leader. I think he's going to have some options, probably sit down with mom and dad and him after the season and see what's the best fit for him. I think he'll have several options, working hard on his grades right now. So – they're going to get somebody, and people just tell me, especially at the, you know, I know his aspirations are Division I, and it may happen one day, but he's just so dominant. He's going to be dominant wherever he goes. So they're going to get a hard worker and just a dominant player inside. And he's young. He could easily be. You hear about all these holdbacks, you know, but he's a young senior. I could imagine if been trying to see if I can get him a fifth year, but I don't think it's going to work out.
So try to remind me here. So the Selden Arena Open Championship, Mike, what year was that for you? Was that your freshman or sophomore year?
That was his freshman year. Unfortunately, he was hurt. He broke his finger midway through league, and he was having probably going to be first team all league his freshman year, and broke his finger. So he did not play the rest of the year. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you talked about that. The other championship games that you guys have played in. But, Mike, I want to ask you, too, like, who are some of your favorite NBA players? You got some NBA guys or some college basketball dudes you know, that you look up to?
Yeah, Kobe. I like Kobe. His mentality and how he's humble and he's not too cocky. I like LeBron James, his dominance, his work ethic.
All right, LeBron. All right, so – Brad, you and I are obviously about the same age, and we grew up with Michael Jordan, right? Mm-hmm. And so these young guys, when they say LeBron James is the best of all time, it kind of gets me going a little bit because I'm a Michael guy.
Where do you stand with that? You got to set them straight sometimes, or what? When these young guys say LeBron?
I got some buddies of mine that are huge Jordan fans. So we just, when I'm bored at night, I'll throw a text out there, and then 2 hours later, we're just going at it. I'll say, hey, look, LeBron had 48 tonight, and then they're just, you know, but it's tough comparing those two guys and Kobe, and they're all great in their own way, you know. But I'm a Laker guy, so obviously I got, you know, got to follow LeBron and back in. But Michael Jordan was just so special, Paul. I mean, as you know, he won with not great teams, and just he was a competitor. He was a competitor, whether he was on the basketball court, gambling, or on the golf course.
Yeah.
The guy just wanted to win, so it was unbelievable. His work ethic was unbelievable.
No, I agree. So you said you're a Lakers fan, so you got to root for LeBron James. So how you Lakers are hard to watch sometimes, aren't they?
I watched them last night thinking they turned this thing around, and they're back losing, and they're a tough follow right now, Paul. They really are, and it's been like that for a few years now, actually.
And I am a disgruntled Sacramento Kings fan, right? So you know, Mike Brown is their coach. They've definitely turned their team around. They're a fun watch.
They are fun to watch, absolutely.
And you know, when Robert Horry made that shot against the Sacramento Kings, right? Where Vlade tipped it out, didn't tip it out far enough.
Yeah.
That's something that, as a Kings fan, I won't forget for a long time. I went outside. I had to run around the block a couple times after that.
That was a tough last play there, yeah.
All right, so tonight, 7 o'clock, Weston Ranch. You know, what are some – I think a lot of our Central Section teams are performing very, very well. We mentioned Sierra, right, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, they're on a great run right now and a lot of the girls' programs. How much of a fan, Brad, are you? I know you got a game tonight and you got state championship aspirations, but how much of a fan are you of the Central Section and rooting, and how neat is it to see all these teams performing really
well?
Boys
and girls, we want to see them do great because I think over the years, you know, we're kind of called that stepchild where we just have been thrown into brackets where we – shouldn't have been. So I think over the last 4 to 5 years, the Central Section has really represented. So obviously Craig and Vance there, and Tony's run last year. So Carruthers Grill is unbelievable. So I'm cheering for all of them. I'm hoping we can get to Tuesday night and maybe get to next Saturday, and we could see some of our fellow teams there. I think it'd be great.
So it's not a neutral site on Tuesday if you guys win tonight, right?
Back in the day, they used to do it if your gym wasn't big enough. But I've been told no. If we were to be fortunate enough to win tonight and Whitney beat Vanden, it'd be back in our gym on Tuesday.
Be back in your gym.
Yes.
Standing room only. Probably
and that
turning
would be
people
for the
away.
NorCal, yeah, obviously right. Final. Got a long way. Got a tough one tonight, but just, you know, it'd be nice, but got to take care of business tonight.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait for that game. Again, the only game in town tonight, San Joaquin Memorial, Western Ranch, hosting them for a trip to the NorCal Finals. Brad, always great to talk to you. Really appreciate you. And you are, I just got to say, from my perspective, your willingness to come on the shows and represent yourself and the program is very much appreciated. So, yeah, from a personal perspective, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. As always, do a phenomenal job, Paul. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Brad. And then, Mike, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate you. Good luck tonight, man.
Good luck tonight.
Watch your career for the last 4 years. Hope nothing but the best for you.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, coming up after the break, we're talking with Coach CJ Haydock, Darren Persom, Fresno Pacific men's basketball after the break on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Really good conversation right now with Coach Brad Rosnowski and Mike Davis Jr. We appreciate those guys coming in on game day. You know, I mentioned Jalen Cropper ran a 4.440 the combine right now. I want to ask Gabe Camarillo, jump on for about a minute. Jake Haner's draft stock, we've seen a couple things on Twitter. Obviously, we know what he can do on the field. He's very well spoken. Gabe, what are you hearing about Jake and draftability right now?
Well, he has helped his case at the combine. He just had the second highest vertical jump of any quarterback there, and that includes guys like Stetson Bennett, the national champion, Max Duggan. I'm forgetting his name, but it's Louisville quarterback Malik Cunningham. These are very athletic dudes, and Jake Haner had the second highest vertical jump. So, you know, I do think that Haner, he's going to impress more with his mind. He can escape the pocket when he needs to. He can throw on the run. We saw that at Fresno State, but where's he going to blow away the scouts is his ability to break down a playbook quickly. You know, that Senior Bowl MVP was part brought by his ability to crunch a playbook down in a week, right? He had a playbook that he had to learn with new teammates, and he excelled at it. So I think Hayner's going to have a lot of suitors in the NFL draft. I could see him either as an early day three pick or, heck, maybe even a late day two pick, considering how he performs in front of scouts this weekend in Indy.
No, I know. And I know, to me, he's the type of guy that's going to blow them away. And when they do the one-on-one meetings, and, you know, they have the whiteboard here. Hey, drop a play here. Or, you know, when you see these defense, what can you do? So I think definitely he's going to impress not only on the field, but on those one-on-one or two-on-one sessions or whatever they have at the combine. But yeah, I think Jake Hayner, any team would be lucky enough to draft him. And again, Jalen Cropper running that 4.40 is extremely impressive. All right, thanks, Gabe, really quick for jumping on, talking about Jake. Good for everybody to know that information. Coming up after the break, we got Coach C.J. Haydock, Fresno Pacific men's basketball, and one of his star players, a guy that he is very, very close with. A lot of people know Darren Person Jr. Coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thanks for joining us. For sure, thanks to First String Sports for being my day one sponsors. They are awesome here on Blackstone Avenue. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Welcome to the show, Coach C.J. Haydock, men's basketball coach at Fresno Pacific since 2017, and senior Darren Person just completed his final year, 14.2 points per game, 6.7. Darren played for Coach Haydock at Emmanuel. Well, you know, with Colin Slater, some of those great teams we're going to be talking about. Played at Cal State Bakersfield before transferring to Fresno Pacific. So, CJ, I've known you for a long time. And what the heck? I mean, this is your first time on my show. I've had the show for a year and a half. But I usually don't have college coaches. But so maybe this is a first on many levels.
First on many levels, long overdue.
Long overdue, for sure.
And, you know, we go way back. You knew me when I was a 15-year-old brace-faced, gangly, falling over my own feet high school hooper. So this is
shoot
long time coming.
Turnaround baseline 15-foot jumpers. I can add that.
They would go in sometimes.
Yeah.
They would go in sometimes.
Okay. So, yeah, I know Coach Haydock for a while since his days at playing basketball at Fresno Christian. You were coached by my best friend who was on the show a couple weeks ago, Chris Schultz. That was a great time.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to get to a lot of stuff. We're actually, hey, this is how special this is for me as well. We're going two segments, man.
Oh, wow.
We're going two segments. So we're going 20 so minutes or so. Take a
we
break.
We got more water.
Back and talk some more. Five waters there for you.
I'm sweating already. I'm nervous. Especially after Schultz's performance last week. Like, it's the whole thing.
Come on, I'm not that. I ask softball questions.
You make us look good. You're a pro.
So COVID, how many regulations did you have to jump through with COVID? No, I'm not that. I'm not one of those guys. So Darren, and I've followed your career since your freshman year at Emmanuel as well. So yeah, very great to have you on the show. Really looking forward to this. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, so CJ, I want to get into. Let's talk about last week. Your season finished on a high note. You beat Holy Names. 84-76. Darren had a probably a standard type game, right? 18-8. So how important it was for the Fresno Pacific to end the season on a strong note?
It was important for Darren to go out the right way. And going out the right way included fouling out with like 2 minutes left. So like we got 18-8 like we always did out of him, and we got him to foul out. So like we just got the whole Darren Person experience sitting out the right way. No, that's old Darren. Yeah. This year he's great with foul trouble. No, I mean, I think like, you know, we're really proud of, like, I just finished year 7 at Fresno Pacific, and we're really proud of what we built. We're really proud of what we mean to our community. We're proud to provide a platform for local kids. 6 of our 7 seniors that we sent out were from the Valley. And, you know, the other part of it is, like, if you look at it big long term and you zoom out a little bit, like, this is our crew that, you know, in the COVID year, 2021, is the first team in school history to make the NCAA tournament. Last year, we spent a good portion of the year receiving votes in the top 25 in the country. And so that was our crew that, like, took us through that. And, you know, if you zoom out, like, individually, you zoom in on them, but then you zoom out big picture on what they've done for our program, they had to go out the right way. And so packed house, you know, go out with a win, and an hour after the game, I have a picture on my phone. I'll print it and put it in the locker room. Our floor is just filled with all the different communities from the Valley, right? We have Grant High Street, who's from Visalia, CVC grad. He's got 50 people there.
That's crazy.
Darren's having church on one end of the floor. And it's an hour after the game. Yeah. And there's just people in our gym just like holding on to that crew. And so for them to go out to get a win, to be celebrated that way, to be honored in our community, I mean, that's just like the essence of what we want to be about at Fresno Pacific.
Did you cry? Oh. I know you got a special relationship with Darren.
You want to answer that question?
Yeah, he cried the day before that.
I got my two little ones over there. Once you have kids, you know this, Paul. Like, once you have kids, the tear ducts get like turned on, and you don't ever turn them off anymore.
Yeah, all you need is just an image, right, or a moment, and boom, the waterworks are on.
Yeah, you got that lump in your throat. You try to like hide it and be tough guy. No, I think I cried for like 48 hours straight. Yeah. It was a tough day. So.
So Darren, what did that moment mean for you? We'll get into your journey and your injuries and the transferring from Cal State Bakersfield in a second, but what did all the last game moments and having your family there and your coaches and surrounded by friends and family, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I know we're going to get into everything, but to sum it up, I was just thankful. I was thankful to just you put it in perspective. Not everybody gets a chance to play college basketball, high school basketball, different stuff like that. It's a game that I love, and just to go out, having fun, and just I was just thankful for everything, man. Just my family being there, they support me from as long as I can remember. My sister, just thinking about how much they sacrificed to get me to that point, I was just thankful. I was like, man, let's just like have fun out there. Like, even my current teammates now, I love them, love those guys, love my coach, man. We've known each other forever, but just to build our relationship even stronger and just be like, man, and knowing that this is the last game, which was different, was like, man, like, I'm just really thankful for just everything.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, talking with Darren Person and CD Haydock. But Darren, I want to ask you too. What did Fresno Pacific, I know you mentioned you're just very thankful to play college basketball, but, your experience at Fresno Pacific, the Christian atmosphere, the students, the classes that you took, what's the best way to summarize all of that?
Yeah, it feels like a family dynamic. Even coming back from Emmanuel High School, has the Christian dynamic as well. We have chapel, stuff like that. It was something I was familiar with. Both my parents, are ministers, pastors and stuff like that. So that's always been close to home for me. And I felt like Fresno Pacific, they have religious courses, stuff like that, Christian courses. And going through that, like even the main group of people there, it just seems like a family, more like a family community. I feel like everybody knows everybody. Coach Haydock knows, and everybody seems to, like everybody to a certain extent. You know what I mean? So it's like, everybody says hi to everybody on campus. Everybody's invested in your life in campus. And it feels like real genuine and a great place to be. So.
And for Darren, again, watching him all those years at Emmanuel, I always thought that Darren was a perfect Fresno Pacific player from the beginning, right? But you chose Cal State Bakersfield, right? Big opportunity, great conference, Division I basketball. What did you learn about, or maybe you learned something very quickly moving from Emmanuel to Cal State Bakersfield, but it's a difficult process, right?
Yeah.
It's not the comfort zone of Emmanuel High School and those types of things that we might take for granted. But what was the biggest adjustment that you figured out going from Emmanuel to Cal State Bakersfield?
I would say, Coach Haydock uses this word a lot too. Like, you're not entitled to anything, and getting there, you're not entitled to like how much minutes you're gonna play, what the coach wants to do with you. You know what I mean? Like, you're not. All that is up to somebody else. And all you can do is just, try to do everything to the best of your ability. I feel like so. It helped me grow as a man. You put in work and you think you want a certain outcome and you think you're going to get that certain outcome. If it doesn't happen, that's just life, and I think it helped me grow up very fast. And, I feel like I learned a lot of lessons there. I was there for 3 years of my adult life. So I learned a lot of lessons. And
so you had to make, you made the decision to transfer to Fresno Pacific. What were some of the main reasons why you decided to transfer?
I knew it was time for me to, I wanted to do something different. You know, I wanted to have a real college basketball career. And, you know, right when I was, we always tell this story, right when I was, after I said, put my name in the portal, I talked to my other coaches and stuff, man. Coach Haydock called me, like,
I
was taking shoes out my locker. Coach Haydock, hey, what's up, bud? I'm like, hey, what's up?
He said, I got to call you back. Yeah. Coach, I'm not done cleaning out my locker, bro. You got to chill out.
Yeah, I'm cleaning out my locker.
Slow down a little bit.
But, you know, it was an easy decision. Coach, he's a great guy. He's a great coach. When we started the talking process, you know, he's just like, you know, I haven't seen you play in a minute, you know what I mean? But I know what you're capable of. You know, we've been following you a little bit here and there, but he broke down statistics with me. You know, it was further than just, hey, I want you there. Like, hey, we're going to break this down and what I want you to contribute to our program.
Yeah.
And I just felt that same feeling when I wanted to play for Emmanuel. You know, it's just like, man, he cares about me. Also, he cares about his team. And he's gonna pour into my life, and he's gonna help me become a great basketball player in the future. And it was an easy decision after that.
Easy,
you know?
As pie, right?
Yeah,
I bet.
It didn't feel easy on the other end. We were sweating it out, but
were you? A little bit.
All right. Yeah. he had plenty of options, so we were gonna sweat it out a little bit.
I'm sure he did, but yeah, to me on the outside looking in, man, to me that it was a no brainer decision. You know, happy that you were able to spend your final three seasons at Fresno Pacific. But CJ, I want to ask you too. I know, you know, you could go on for hours and hours, but you know what did Darren bring to the court, and then what did he bring to your program in the time that you had him in college?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what's funny about Darren is Darren's like this dichotomy, right? Like, he's the most like physically imposing player, I've ever coached at any level. But he's also like brings more joy to any locker room than any dude I've ever coached. Like, we have lots of traditions and rituals. And so one of the things that happens every day at practice is when our guys go to dynamic stretch, I dap everybody up, right, and have a quick conversation. I think Darren and I laughed every single day in dynamic just because he just brings this like infectious joy and charisma and humor. And so, you know, he left his impact on the floor. He had to overcome a catastrophic injury in his first couple weeks with us, is a part of several history making teams, leaves with a bachelor's degree and now going to be a master's degree. And, you know, it's just an integral part of our community. He is Fresno Pacific. He's born and raised in the Valley. He's from an incredible family. He's going to have an incredible career after college in basketball. He's going to have an incredible career after basketball in business. He's just like, this is what we want our dudes to be. They're emblematic of our community, and that's what he leaves is a tremendous legacy.
And, I mean, he's looking pretty fly right now. He comes in at first and scores. I ask him, you work out, you know, you're smelling good, right? I mean, God, you epitomize college basketball for sure. So, talk about the adversity with the knee. Right. So what is it? Third practice of the year or something? Transfer to Fresno Pacific. You're back home, probably feeling pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Boom, you go down. Right? You go down to practice. What was the drill? Catastrophic injury? What happened?
At night, man, it was a good practice. I remember the practice before too, and you know, it's just a part of the story. But I had a fast break, you know, I windmilling easy. I'm thinking like, man, Fresno State, y'all better be ready.
Yeah, because you're going to play Fresno State in the exhibition. You were ready.
I was hyped. I was hyped, because Cal State Bakersfield, I missed out. I missed when we played Fresno State again because I had a different surgery, you know, coming into college. So I was like, man, this is my time, you know, whatever. But, yeah, just we was doing our regular, just playing, man. Hit a weird jump stop.
Yeah.
Bam. And I think Coach Haydock knew, you know, me, you know, I was just like, man, I don't know. I haven't felt nothing like that before. So I was thinking a lot. Then by the next morning, you know, I was like, man, you know.
You got the news.
Got the news pretty much, you know. It's not looking too good. You know, I was breaking down, man. You know, I really wanted this really bad. But, you know, coaches were with me through it all. My family was with me through it all. I was like, man, you know, just it's hard to say, you know, let's get right next year, you know, but – it wasn't easy.
What is it, an ACL? What was the official diagnosis?
Yeah, my ACL. Tore my
you
ACL.
Left one, right one?
Mm-hmm. And I had a little meniscus damage, so I did it. It was pretty bad.
So you rehabbed for an entire year?
Whole year.
So yeah. what
walk us through that experience where there's some, obviously there's going to be some low moments during that time where it's just you and your thoughts and you're like, man, am I ever going to be the player I'm going to be? So, you know, describe, you know, walk us through some of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. The first thing, you know, thinking about, cause I got there, what was about my fourth year? Cause it was COVID year already.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're already thinking I came in college aspirations, you know, 4 years I'm out. Now yeah. I'm thinking like, man, I barely even got to play basketball yet in yeah. college. And this is my fourth year. Then I tear my ACL. I was thinking like, man, this is tough. You know, this is nothing what I thought basketball was like at all. So I just associated to basketball. So, yeah, you have a lot of time to think. It was the night of the NBA draft. You know, it makes more emotional. I'm sitting down, my leg, I can't move it. And I'm looking at them, you know, reaching their dreams and stuff. And I haven't even got started, I felt like. So it was definitely an emotional time. But also I'm an optimistic person. So I was thinking, hey, man, when I get back on this court, you know, I'm going to give it everything I got again. So, you know, there was times I thought about, man, I don't know if I want to do this all the time. And, you know, I started working out with Spock and the people back in, and we just started rehabbing it. And I just started, you know, not falling in love with the process, but I said, this is what I got to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability so I can get there as fast as possible. So
what was the game plan, Coach, with Darren? Like, obviously you're walking with him throughout that experience. You're probably checking up on him pretty much every day. So what was that like as a, you know, first of all, as a person and then as a coach to see a player come through adversity and then, you know, and then end up having the career. But what was that like for you as a coach?
You know, everything was magnified during COVID. So he goes down during COVID. And like we had these, you know, this is like fall of 2020.
Yeah,
fall of 2020. Yeah, so you remember what it's like. There's no vaccine. There's no nothing. So, like, we're in masks as coaches, and we have designated coaching boxes on the floor. So we're supposed to keep our distance from our guys or whatever. So he goes down, and you know, like, I've been doing this. I just finished year 19. Like, you know what a torn ACL looks like. I knew when he jump stopped, it was gone. I knew right away. And go over there and, like, carry him to the sports med room. He's crying, I'm crying, hugging on him, breaking all the COVID protocols. He got to go get imaging and do all that stuff. Remember how complex healthcare was at that time. So it was a mess. And trying to tend to his mental health and all those things. Luckily, he's got an incredible support system and family that we could lean on. But, you know, we started telling him like 2 or 3 weeks before he even had his surgery, we were trying to front load with him. Hey, man, the hardest part is right now. And then the second hardest part is when you come back. Because when you come back, you know, they say 10, 11 months to heal. And that's true. You get back on the floor. It's another 6 or 7 months before you get your performance back, before you even a framework of yourself. So he came back the next year to play in November, and he was playing 8 or 9 minutes a night. And we had tried to like front load it for months with him because we've done it before, right? It's the horrible part of coaching, but like, hey man, you're not going to be you until February of the next year. And he was like, nah, man, coach, I'm good. Like, then he's like, you know, he can't move side to side, but we've done this before. So like, the first part is the hardest part, and the last part where it's like, hey, man, just hang in there. At some point, he's going to break through. And then, you know, he finishes that year, that second year. I think he averages like 15-5 the last 10 games of the year and uses that as a takeoff for his senior year. But it's dark, man. Walking guys through injuries and catastrophic injuries like that is really hard.
Yeah, Darren, was there a moment during that year, right? You said, CJ said, you averaged 15-5 towards the end of the year. Was there a moment when you kind of felt like, hey, I can do this, right? There's like a little mental block that you have to get through. Was there a specific moment you remember, or maybe a game?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I can do this now.
Yeah, I think it was at, like, Holy Names, right? So I came back from the Christmas break, and I haven't dunked all year yet. And what is this, halfway? And, you know, dunking is a big part of my game and my excitement. I haven't dunked all year. Or maybe I had like a squeezy or something. It was bad. But, man, yeah, I think I forgot who threw it back to me. But I was running from – we had a little fast break. I was running from half court, and I think it was Kirby. He stopped in the key, and he saw me running. And he threw it back, and I caught it. You know, I took two, and I dunked on somebody. And I said, oh, yeah, there we go. And I swear, Coach Hayden, I know after that, man, it was up. Yep. Every – game, I was slamming on people, and I was like, okay, I'm finally starting to feel like myself, man. And like my confidence, you know, confidence is hard, man, when you don't see it. So it's hard. You got to have a lot of faith, you know. And I feel like everything started to come along after that moment. And that's one of the moments I remember, because I had this big old brace on my leg.
Yeah.
You know, everything didn't feel right. And then once I did that, I said, oh, okay. And the next game, oh, another one. Then another, I was like, okay, let's go.
And what ways did some of your teammates help you through that time as well? Are there some dudes you want to give a shout out to just like walk with you, some of your guys?
Man, I would shout out all my guys, really. Man, yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of guys there. My roommate now, even Sean. Shawnee and Lena, I'm finna say his last name wrong, but that's my boy, man. He's been through way more stuff than me injury-wise, you know, and to see him out there, dude was playing my last year when I had a brace. I mean, my junior year when I had a brace on, he was playing with, like, no ACL, no meniscus, and was giving it everything he got, man.
Yep.
And he, if you talk to him, man, he's a great, great human being, great person, great outlook on life. And that's a dude who was telling me and encouraging me, you know, as a man, like, hey, man, you know, you go through these things and all that, but, you know, it's not easy, but you got to keep pushing. You know, I've been through it too, you know, and having somebody that was right there and been through similar challenges and he can play, you know, sometimes the cards are dealt wrong with people, you know, it's just the difference, you know, and he just got hurt, but the boy is nice. And him to feed into my life like that and still be positive. And Coach Haydock, no, he's probably one of the favorite players he's ever coached, man. He's out there talking mess to the other team. Up, you would think he's about to check in the game, you know. And he's there for us all the time. So that's one of the guys I would. But the rest of that, my whole team was there for me from the jump, man.
That's great. You know what's crazy about that year is Darren tears his ACL in the preseason. And then Sean, who he's referencing, had come off an ACL tear. And I think he was our second leading scorer. He was averaging 15-5-5, and it's the COVID year. And Sean tears his Achilles in the middle of the COVID year.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, those are two of our top four guys. And I don't want to, like, rank them above each other, but, like, maybe our best two.
Yeah.
And we're a national tournament team, and we lose at the buzzer in the national tournament. Like, we talk about all the time, like, we get DP and Sean healthy that year. I legit think we're, like, an Elite Eight caliber Division II team. Yeah. I mean, we lose two of our top four guys, and we're still in the mix. So it's crazy just how much health is involved in success at the Division II level.
There is, at any level, right? Any sport, I mean, just injuries can just wreak havoc. And, you know, you get to the college level and, you know, it becomes, and like Darren referenced at Cal State Bakersfield, right? It becomes more serious, right? Yeah. It becomes more serious and the guys are coaching for their jobs. And, I mean, a bunch of ways we can go with that. But I want to ask you, too, we got another minute before we hit the break and we can come back for another little segment, guys. Bus rides, right? You guys do a lot of bus rides?
Yep.
Huh? You guys aren't doing charter planes very much often,
no,
right?
No, I drive a van quite a bit, actually. Some buses and some vans. So I'll be on that podcast driving that van back from Oakland at 3 a.m. It's a great time. So
all-encompassing. So
small college basketball, baby.
I know. You got to love it, right? So you're stopping off at, I'm sure, strange places throughout your trips, right? Getting gas at weird places. And
oh, yeah.
You're probably eating a little junk food here and there on trips. But I got to ask you, Siege. This is a question that we've been talking about for years, right? And I know in high school you had this discussion. I want to know if you've come to this existential answer to this question here. What is there more of in the world, rocks or leaves? Right? Have you had this conversation?
Yes.
Right. Where have we come in the last 20 years of our relationship? What's the answer, rocks or leaves in the world?
So I will tell you, they call my van the vet van. Because it's not for everybody. There's like a no headphones rule in my van because we're gonna hit it all. We're gonna hit like theology and politics. So like this is a vet van caliber. Like DP never wanted to be in my van because I talk his ear off and like make him think all the deep things. Last day he's like, nah, I'm riding with Coach McClurg. I'm not doing that. So we have not had this specific discussion, but my van is well equipped to navigate this.
Okay.
So I'm gonna answer your question with a question. It depends on like leaves are temporary. Rocks have a much longer life. So like if we're counting leaves in different forms after they decompose, then I'm going leaves. If you're counting in the original state, then I'm going rocks because of their permanence.
Okay, so you got to just take a snap. I know, it's funny, right? This makes for great radio. You got to take a snapshot in time. So let's say, what's the date? March 4th, 1972. At that point in time, right, what would there have been more of? Right? I know, leaves, there's not a lot of leaves on trees
okay,
right
so,
now.
Okay, so I'm going to say 1978, deforestation hits too hard, and the balance in the world. What are we doing here?
You're making stuff up.
The balance in the world shifts. So it's probably like April 11th, 1978, okay. Deforestation hit too hard.
Okay. Rocks, right? I'm just going to say rocks. They don't.
Right? You're not going to quantify it like me?
No. I don't have enough time. We got to hit a break. All right. This is what you get on 1430 ESPN right now. At this moment in time, March 4th, 2023, all time stopped.
All right. All relevant.
All right. We'll come back. We'll go back a little bit to some of your early days, Darren, and chop it up a little bit more about high school days coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Here at First String Sports, talking with Darren Person, Coach CJ Haydock, Fresno Pacific. All right, Darren, we got about 10 more minutes, man. But yeah, we got to talk about growing up loving basketball. Is there a story growing up where you first loved basketball, or you started dominating kids on the playground, overall, you know, on the streets, or you know, what? You got a fun story you want to share with us about growing up loving basketball? Your parents have any stories like, oh man, I mean, you got a huge hand. I mean, first of all, like, yeah, you're probably able to palm a basketball when you're like 2 years old.
Yeah, they thought I was gonna be a football player probably from the womb, but my dad loved basketball, so. You know, what we do at People's Church, we would play over there. My dad would lift me up to dunk and stuff like that. And I think after that, I was like, man, I love this, you know. And, yeah, I was always bigger than the other kids, you know, so it was easy to get a lot of success early. And I was on a really good team my eighth grade year. I was on a team with DeAndre Ayton, and we all grew up together playing together, and they showed me through their process and how much basketball meant to just people. Like, I was the first time I was introduced to, like, oh, there's a lot of
hardcore, high.
There's a lot of money into this thing.
Got it.
From a young age. They wanted to hold us all back about 2 years and stuff. It was crazy. But to be around those players, and some of them players still play, like, they're in TCU, Charles O'Bannon's son, we was all together. So even from now, I don't talk to DeAndre Ayton no more, but, you know, cause he's the one now. But I think starting there and being early, I was like, man, I love this, man. I really want to play. And that was one of the things I was like, okay, I can do this for a long time.
And you grew up in Clovis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your family's still in Clovis. And you went to Granite Ridge, and then you decided to go to Emmanuel. You ended up top nine in the Central Section and scoring over 2,000 points. Central Section historian Bob Barnett was on the show a few weeks back, and he had the list. He had his hand-drawn list of all the dudes that scored over 2,000. So Darren's name was on that list. But, you know, your experience at Emmanuel, and, you know, we played with Colin Slater as well.
Yes, sir.
You know, what was that like, Coach CJ Haydock, and then, you know, Coach Nate then took over for your senior year, right? So, but what, you know, what was your experience like? You played in some high-level basketball games too, so yeah. Describe your experience there.
Man, I loved it, man. It gave me a real chance to just develop as a player that I feel like I wouldn't get at a lot of places, you know. You know, people that you know, invest into your life, not even just basketball. And I think we had a real joy there. Colin Slater, you know, you bring up his name. RJ Horn, even Nate, when he came with us, he's on my team now at Fresno Pacific. But we were serious about basketball, man. We was waking up 6 a.m. all the time, you know, working before the game, after the game. We knew what it meant to work and make it. College was no doubt. Like, we was like, we getting there. We playing college, but we never even thought about it. Like, it was not going to be a thing, so. That was always a thing. So playing with those guys and knowing how much we all cared about basketball, how many people were invested at one time at a high school, I don't think you all really get like that. You know, it was serious, you know, but we had a great time doing it. So,
and you were 4-for-4 in Central Section Championships.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I know that year, right? I remember at that time. It was before I had my own show on ESPN. Obviously, I'm following pretty tightly, but, you know, you guys are thrown into that open division, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go there because I think it's pretty cool, right? So
yeah,
you're going to Chino Hills. You're the 8 seed. Chino Hills is the 1 seed.
Yeah.
Ball Brothers, number one in the nation, undefeated. Just we know the show/circus that it was,
yeah,
right? So you guys go down there and play. What was it like? I mean, the score ended up 103-71, but really, like, the first play of the game, tip ball, pass, dunk or something, right? Like, what was that experience like, though, playing in that?
Man, I love it, man. I actually like how it ended up. You know, during the time, of course, I feel like we could have won a state championship that year. But, you know, you look back on it, who can say they played? Their whole team is almost in the NBA. Their whole starting five, starting five.
Yeah.
So to play against that caliber of players and know where you're at, man, but it was a crazy environment. It was crazy. It was the first playoff game, their first open division playoff game. To get that opportunity, you know, we knew what probably was going to happen, you know, how it was going to turn out. But, man, we was playing our hearts out. So, yeah, the first play of the game, tip goes up. I think it's – I don't know if it's – he was the little one. He's not little no more. LaMelo or one of them, or Lonzo, man, one of them hit step back almost
one
like
of the
half
NBA
court.
Guys.
Yeah, one of the NBA guys hit a step back from half court. Swank. I was like, oh, man, here we go. It's going crazy, you know. But we was holding our own, man. That's what people don't – they need to tell that story. We was holding our own for a minute, you know. I dunked on somebody, you know. Nate was cooking. So it was a good little moment, you know, for a minute. And they haven't lost a game, and it was playing against the best. And we held our own, man. So.
If you go back and Google that game story, right, the LA Times wrote a story, and it was a packed house, standing room only, turned people away. And LaMelo was a freshman. He was a freshman on that team, right? And – you had made the decision the year before, right, CJ, to go to Fresno Pacific and be an assistant coach there. Got to be a tough – you knew the team that was coming back, right? I mean, and I was probably – you know, you're like it's a life decision, right?
Yeah, that was a hard one. That was the first time DP saw me cry.
Yeah, man.
Blubbering in front of that team. Yeah. I coached that team 2 years. We had the best team coming back.
Yeah.
And had an opportunity to go coach college basketball full-time as an assistant, which was like a lifelong dream. And to be honest, like, it was a lifelong dream that I'd given up on. I was just like, hey, I'm just going to retire as a high school coach. I'm going to spend 50 years and do that thing. And then it kind of fell in my lap and, you know, got to turn it over to one of my best friends in the world, Nate McClurg, who's now assistant with me at Fresno Pacific, and watch him grow it even more. And so I knew it was in good hands. It was really hard leaving DP and Colin and Nate and those guys, though. That was the first time DP got to see me cry.
So, you're talking about Nate Kendricks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nate, you know, he's the nephew, right? His brother, his uncles are the football-playing Kendricks.
Yeah.
Right?
Both in the league.
CJ, we got a couple minutes here. First of all, thanks for coming on. You're right. This has been long overdue. But you mentioned that the tough decision. You thought you were going to be a high school basketball coach for many years, and then, you know, the opportunity came up. But why is Fresno Pacific such a great school and a great place to play basketball?
What's that timer at?
I know. Sell it.
We offer something unique in our valley. Like, if you zoom out from a university perspective, the opportunity to be part of a private school, get an incredible education, be a part of a really tight-knit community. You're an alum. You know I'm an alum. I know. Like, we tell every dude who steps foot on our campus, bigger than basketball, somebody outside of our basketball program is going to grab you, and they're going to change your life. And, I've been there. I'm about to start year 9, 1 year as an assistant, 7 years as a head coach. And every dude we've had, someone has grabbed them and has changed their life and poured into them. And so the unique position we operate in Southeast Fresno as a university, you know, I think we go underappreciated as an institution quite frequently in our valley. And then basketball-wise, like I said earlier, we graduate 6 guys this year from the valley. And, you know, everybody grows up in the valley, myself included, as Fresno State takes the front first and foremost. And I get that, and I think as a big state school, they do a great job of curating that and building community. But I also think we're uniquely positioned in Division II basketball where we can rep the Valley even more because we can have dudes that are our talent level that are about the right things, right? And there will never, ever be shortcuts at Fresno Pacific in our basketball program. We say all the time, like, we're not for everybody, but for the dudes we are for, we're everything.
Yeah.
And our guys ride for us. We had senior night last week. We've been on the job 7 years. We got 8 alumni front row to watch our guys join their fraternity. Yeah, you know what I mean? After every game, I got dudes playing pro overseas that are tuned in at 3 in the morning in the country of Georgia. I got dudes in Southern California that have their feedback, sometimes positive, sometimes encouragement. Sometimes I got to answer their FaceTimes when we lose a tough game. Coach, you got to answer for this. We need more from you. You know what I mean? So, like, you want to be everything. That's what Fresno Pacific basketball is. And, you know, as a result of that, like, you got to do it the hard way. We're in a conference with teams from L.A. and San Francisco and Honolulu and San Diego, and we're in their facilities that don't look like ours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that's, like, the best of sports. Like, I think at the intersection of, like, we can be the best of Fresno. Like, we can be what you're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be in the conversation to make the national tournament. We're not supposed to be ranked in the top 25 in the country or top 10 in our region. We're not supposed to be that. And we are, because we embody what's best about our city. We're going to be overachievers. We're going to be tough and together. And we're going to be about the right thing, right? Like, we got one of the lowest lowest transfer rates in the country in Division II because we love our guys, because we treat them well, because guys who go out, and I'll say it, like, don't get the experience that they should get as college athletics, come back, and we're like, no, we'll give that to you. It won't be easy.
Yeah.
There's days DP and I had some four-letter words for each other. You know what I mean? But now – now for the rest of his life, he's going to advocate for Fresno Pacific. He's going to go be a pro, all those things. And so, like, you know, there is no shortage of pride in what we've built. Not just us, not just our coaches, but our administration, our guys that have sweat and bled for it. I just don't think there's anyone positioned to mean as much to the city of Fresno as we can. I really believe that with my whole heart. Without a doubt.
Well, I'm ready to run through a wall for
you. Yeah, let's
go. Let's go. Where's the nearest court? Let's go.
You got to beat that Traver 8th grade team first, and then you're in. I had to bring it up.
You went there. Why did I post that publicly? Why did I post that publicly?
That wasn't sitting in my pocket this whole time. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, you saved your last bullet for that. All right. I see how it is. All right. So, Darren, I want to give you the last word. This has been a great conversation. Future plans, I know Siege just mentioned really quick, you know, maybe, you know, play some overseas ball, pro ball. But what are your future plans? And, you know, you got your degree, you're working on a master's. So what's the future look like for Darren?
Yeah, man. I have my master's degree right now. I'm going to start talking to agents next week. Try to figure this thing out, man, you know, enjoy this process, see how good of a basketball player I can be, man, just keep going, you know, and I have my master's degree, so, you know, I'm a business guy, entrepreneur, you know, type mind, and I feel like I'm going to figure it out, you know, so.
I feel like you are, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're dressed for a workout right now, so, so let's
ready.
Go. You got your shoes on and everything, but, hey, thanks, guys, for coming in, and you're right, long overdue. It's been a great conversation. Love both of you guys, and appreciate you, man. All the best to you.
Paul, appreciate everything you do for the Valley, man. That's for sure. You're a star in our city. There's no doubt.
Thank you. All right, coming up after break, talking with Sierra coach Ryan Watt. They're on their way up north playing in a D5 State NorCal semifinal game. Looking forward to that coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Great conversation with Coach CJ Haydock, Coach Darren Person. What I've tried to do on my show is just be real, right? Just be real, have fun. I think the stories that I like to tell on my show resonate with people in the Central Valley. So just had a lot of fun. If you want to go back and listen to any episode, just go to the 1430 ESPN website, download from the podcast tab, Central Valley Sports Report. You can go back and listen to the interview. Great job by CJ Haydock, Darren Person Jr. Just incredible, incredible things are happening at Fresno Pacific. I want to welcome Ryan Watt to the program. He's on the road right now. He's the head boys basketball coach at Sierra High School. They've had an incredible run. The Chieftains have advanced to the NorCal semis in D5. They won in the last second on Thursday in a layup by junior Logan Kilbert, who's averaging close to 30 points a game. Now they're playing Venture Academy. Kind enough to join us while driving. So, Coach, where are you right now? You're on 99?
You know what? We just stopped at the Love's little gas station on Avenue 17 and 99, and we're literally about to pull onto the freeway here in just a minute.
I know exactly where that is. Yeah, they got the Arby's right there. They got a couple places where you can eat. So, yeah, you get well on your way to playing Stockton. What's the conversations been like in the van? Is somebody in charge of the music? Is there like a no headphones rule going on in your van? Or what are you guys talking about?
You know, I've got some of our, our seniors and juniors, the guys that have, you know, had to deal with me for the last, you know, two or three years. They like to ride with our younger, assistant coaches and other guys. They're probably tired of, you know, me listening or, you know, listening to me talk about scouting or what we're going to game plan or this or that. So they like to ride there. So I got some of our guys that we brought up this year after the regular season was over and some of our other guys. But, our kids, I've got great kids that you know, everybody likes being around. And I've got great assistant coaches. So it makes our van trips and our car rides fun.
And that's definitely part of the whole experience of playing in a sport. Those road trips are things that people remember for a long time. But
You know, your first state playoff game, you won 71-46 over Gridley. That's, you know, we talked last night on the phone. You were kind enough to call me back, and you said that's the first state win in the school's history. And then you go on the road to beat Fortune Early College Prep, and it'll beat them on that Kilbert layup. So I want you, first of all, to describe what that means to your school and your program to get the first win in school history in the state playoffs.
Yeah, well, for the boys program, the girls, I know our girls volleyball program has won state. I think it was 1989. The girls won a couple state playoff games a couple years ago. And then for the boys, people at the school, you know, told me like, hey, we think this is the first time boys have ever, won a state playoff game. And now we've won two and trying to win three tonight. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
I want you to describe the atmosphere and that final play on Thursday. Man, these days are running together, aren't they? But on Thursday, when Logan Kilbert took it coast to coast and laid it up, I think with about 3 seconds left. So can you describe what led up to that moment? I think it was 55-55 at that point. You know, was there a turnover? Or did they score? How'd you guys get the ball back? And what type of play did you design in that situation?
Yeah, so we ran a couple different looks. Try to obviously get the ball into your player's best into his hands and let him just go to work. And we had a couple plays designed for him leading up to that. He tied it up on a backdoor layup, and then Paul, I'm backing out right here. I don't need to rear end somebody as
no,
I'm
you don't.
Backing out of the gas station. But then we tied it up, and we came down and got a huge stop. Defensively, Logan had a block. My center Ben, he had a huge block, and we got a shot clock violation. And then we came down, with about 19 seconds, 18 seconds left, and just drew up a little play for Logan, and we had timeouts in case they threw a different look at us. They had gone 1-3-1 on us earlier, but like I said before, you put the ball into your player's best hands and let them make a decision. And they kind of hugged Nate, my point guard, and some other guys, and didn't help off really, and gave Logan kind of a lane to the basket. And I mean, he clearly gets fouled, and we tell the guys all the time, like, their refs aren't calling fouls in the last 30 seconds of the game, especially when you're driving, unless it's so blatant, obvious. And just all those little moments. And then he gets up off the ground. Two guys, from their team were on the ground, and we kind of, Ben and Luke kind of put their arms up and make the guy kind of cross over. And Logan got up, sprinted back, and got a chip. I don't know if you've seen the video, but there was a guy out of SAC that put a video together. And just a winning play, and got the chip. And then the guy has to take this off balance, fadeaway three and air ball. And, we're celebrating and moving on to the next round. It was pretty, just an awesome night. That great atmosphere, great environment for a high school game. I told our kids after the game, they will never forget, that whole day and our whole trip up there. And just that experience for them, pretty amazing.
And I think it's very important, Coach, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Logan made the layup, but the guys realized there's still seconds on the clock. You're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and a lot of them could have been celebrating after that Logan, after Logan made the layup and not getting back on defense because there's still time. But I think that's a testament to your kids, right, that they are like, hey, the play's not over. The clock hasn't struck zero yet. We got to get back on defense and make a play, right?
Yep. Just, we tell them all the time, you just keep playing until you hear the whistle, and our guys, it's not over. And they've been in those – we've been in close games this year before. And it's just all those experiences – helped in that. So just proud of them, proud of all of our guys, not just the guys that were on the court, from our bench to our guys that push our starters. And, I just got great kids.
Talking with Coach Ryan Watt, head coach at Sierra High School. let's go back a little bit before the state playoffs. Again, you guys have had a great run. You're on your way to play Venture Academy. But how did you and your staff approach the team and, you know, approach practice after that loss to Kingsburg at Salem? You know, you guys were the top seed and you ran to a really hot Kingsburg team. But how were you and your coaching staff able to talk to the players? How did you guys frame that game and moving on?
Yeah, it was rough. You know, we had our worst shooting performance, and Kingsburg had a lot to do with that. They were obviously big and tall, and you know, they did a really good job not letting us get out and run and transition as much. And so, coming on that Monday practice, we tried to keep it light. We tried to keep it, you know, just fun in a competitive, you know, atmosphere. And we just started off with some 2-on-2, you know, split up everybody into 2v2 and let them choose their partners, and went for a couple rounds of, you know, 3 minutes, and just try to get out of the mindset of, you know, what happened 2 days ago. And then we just talked about, like, what we were going to face on Tuesday against Gridley, showed them some film before the start of practice, and then just went over a couple key things defensively and offensively for us. And then just, you know, you just kind of sit there and hope, like, hey, you know, are the seniors checked out? Are they saying, hey, my next season of life is here around the corner, and I don't really care? You know, we lost in the Valley Championship game. But, you know, the ball got out there. We came to play that night, and, you know, really proud of our guys, you know, for just continuing on when they could have said, hey, I'm done. And, you know, we got a big victory. And then, you know, you get the first state playoff win in the school's history for the boys program. And now, you know, you win on the road in state playoffs. That's amazing. So,
and yeah, again, you talk about the great experience that you have, you know, driving up and down the state. Now you're on your way to Stockton to play number one Venture Academy. 5 o'clock start, right, Coach?
That's correct. That is
okay.
Correct.
5 o'clock start, and
we asked for 6, and they said, "Hey, how about 5?" I was like, "That's even better."
Okay, all right, you guys are on your way. You know what? What do you guys have to do? What type of a team are they? And, you know, you've talked to Coach Brad Rozowski. I did on the show earlier. They're playing tonight at home, and it's just a quick turnaround, right? You're playing 3 games. You know, if you advance, you're playing 3 games in a week. But what do you know about this team, and what do you guys have to do well tonight to win?
Yeah, so they're different than the team we played 2 nights ago. These guys – They really love to shoot the 3. They get out and transition a whole lot more. They got a couple guys that leak out. They really like to just push it. Compared to the guys that we played the other night, they really like to rack it. They didn't shoot it as well as the team that we're going to face tonight. But we just, you know, as always, you've got to defend. You've got to be ready for their shooters. You got to have a hand up. You know, these guys are going to pull, and I think if we can make it hard, and then we can limit them to one shot possessions and go get rebounds, I think we're going to give them a game, and I think we're going to win. So, but you got to play the game. You got to play the game. If we come ready to compete tonight for 4 quarters, I love our chances. Love it. So.
And you're going in with a pretty special player. I know he gets a lot of love, and deservedly so. And I know your team as a whole. You mentioned Ben and your point guard, and you're coaching your son as well. But describe Logan Kilbert really quick, what he means. You know, just describe his game and what it's like to, you know, to have a player of his caliber on your squad.
Yeah, he man, our guys, they rally around him. He leads the charge. He's not afraid of big moments, and our guys, you know, they just follow right his lead. And, you know, that's a guy that you want on your team. He's going to, like the other night, he's going to make winning plays. You know, obviously he makes the shot, but then he gets up, sprints back, and gets a chip. I mean, that's a huge play to not even allow them really to get a great look on a 3 to beat you. But he does a great job of, you know, getting his teammates to rally behind him, you know, especially only as a junior, right? We have six seniors, yeah. And, you know, as an underclassman, it's you know, typically you're looking up to the seniors to, you know, for direction. And our seniors, they do a phenomenal job of that. Phenomenal job as that as well, with, you know, just their actions speak louder than their words, and they're doing the right thing. They're taking care of themselves, you know, and when we break a lot of our huddles, we say family. And so these guys are, you know, they're hanging out outside of practices and school and things like that. And they just really are all there for each other, which makes me happy, you know, not only having a son on the team, and these guys are just great kids. Fun to be around.
Absolutely. And coach, thank you for your time. I know you're driving up, you're on the road right now. So 5 o'clock, Sierra High School playing Venture Academy. Like a lot of our schools in the central section, we wish you luck. And thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right. Thank you to First String Sports, Jorge, Gabe Camarillo, Mike Davis Jr., Coach Brad Rosnowski of San Joaquin Memorial, Coach CJ Haydock, Darren Person from Fresno Pacific University. Just heard from Sierra Coach Ryan Watt. Remember, no show next week. I'm off next week. In the meantime, just root for our Central Section team, soccer, basketball, everything. Lots of good stuff going on. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.